This is WTF, What the Foot Radio Podcast, the podcast to tune into and learn all about feet in the news, entertainment, sports, and healthcare. You want to know the truth? We will give you the truth. Welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Dennis Timko, the Foot Guy. You are listening to my What the Foot Radio Podcast.
Happy 10-11-12. Oh, I'm sorry. That was my wedding date. Happy 11-12-13. This is recording today on November 12, 2013. And I wanted to say thanks for everybody for listening today to WTF, What the Foot Radio. And today is a different type of podcast that we're going to be providing our listeners. And one of the things that decided that I would like to talk about a different version of healthcare reform and the High Tech Act that was passed in 2009 by President Obama. But I wanted to give you a little introduction about what we were going to talk about today, and hope you enjoy the podcast. And one of the reasons I decided to talk about something a little different today is that I got a letter last week by my personal health insurance company stating that they are no longer keeping me on their plan at the end of the year, and due to health care reform law, that I do not qualify for the plan that I'm currently on. Therefore, they are increasing my premium almost double and my deductible more than double. So I'm going to be paying more. Healthy individual, do not take any medications, rarely use the doctor for just basic checkups. Once in a while, I have a little back issue and I see my chiropractor. But basically, I'm healthy and now I'm paying more than double and increasing my deductible significantly. So therefore, I'm even more angry than ever before and want to continue on helping and educate patients to hopefully, the goal of this podcast is to educate people and hopefully they can understand and maybe contact their local representative or senator and decide to increase communication amongst the public to talk about, you know, we need to do something different. We need to change these senators and politicians, and people need to understand that this type of healthcare reform does not work. As everybody knows, I'm a recent new dad, and I do love doing this podcast episodes, and it's something I really, really enjoy doing and putting together for everybody. If somebody wants to learn from a doctor's perspective of what we see in our eyes of healthcare reform and what we feel deep down inside, what we think about it, and what we think needs to be fixed about it. But being a new dad, and I do, you know, recall back when I first, before I started this podcast, is when my little boy was only about a month, 2 months old. He had a hard time kind of falling asleep, and so I would kind of pick him up and walk him pacing back and forth, until he would fall asleep. And he really liked, I guess, hearing my voice, so I'd tell him about, you know, I was trying to think of things to talk to him about. So I started thinking, I'm going to be doing a podcast. And I'd say, hey, buddy, let's go get ready for our podcast. Are you going to help me do my podcast? I need a little sidekick, like Batman and Robin, you know. So I'm just waiting for the day for my son to be my little sidekick on this radio show. And maybe it might be a little more exciting than just hearing my voice. But anyway, so we got a little situation here, and I wanted to kind of something that I read in this book that I'm reading about healthcare reform.
An interesting book written by Den Bishop called Healthcare Reform, The Economic Truth of Healthcare in America, published in April 2013.
So here's the story. So consider a dad and his three sons. And the oldest son is really successful in his career, and he has two younger brothers. And the dad gets kind of sick and realizes that he's not going to last much longer, and he's on his deathbed, and talks to the eldest son and says, "Son, I want you to take care of the younger brothers, make sure they're well fed, and you know, invite them to dinner every night. And I'm going to leave in my will $10 for each son and each day that you take him out to dinner." So the older brother faithfully fulfills his commitment to his dad's wishes and takes his brothers out every night. And the brothers get used to this and decide, you know, this is pretty good. I'm going to, you know, their tastes start to evolve, and they decide, well, you know, Applebee's is not any good anymore, so I'm going to go to Surf and Sirloin, or I'm going to go to Maggiano's. And they start, asking for some appetizers and desserts. And, you know, next thing you know, a nice steakhouse. And, you know, their wine started to evolve. And they wanted maybe a Jordan, a bottle of Jordan, or a Meritage wine, all those good stuff. But anyway, eventually one of the younger brothers decided to adopt a child that joined them for dinner. And that added to the additional cost. And they didn't have any inheritance like the $10 that they were getting from the dad. So then restaurant prices started to rise, and as years went by, it became a pretty big problem. The older brother had to only budget for the $10, plus, he was having a little trouble to supplement the cost for his two younger brothers and the adopted child. So this is just a scenario, and what I wanted to mention in this book, it talks about this scenario, and basically the older brother is basically the private insurances and the employers, and the two younger brother is Medicare and Medicaid, and then the adopted child is the uninsured population. So you see here how things evolve and what's happening is all the cost of healthcare is now rising considerably, and the employers, such as myself or the big companies and the private insurances, are now having to pay for the Medicare, Medicaid, and the uninsured. And so, as an example, you have a patient that has really, really good health insurance, has a heart attack, and then ends up going to the hospital in the ICU, has a stent placed, and so on, and costing, you know, an ICU treatment and stent and surgery and recovery and rehab, you know, you're looking at $200,000 for a 5-6 day stay in the hospital. Well, an uninsured person or Medicare, Medicaid, we get a considerably less amount of money, and those hospitals and those doctor's offices and those doctor bills are pretty expensive, and our rent doesn't go down, and the employees still want their paycheck, so we still have to pay our bills and our lifestyles, and with the lower money of the Medicare, Medicaid, and uninsured, those private insurances have to considerably pay higher amounts. So eventually, this is going to suffer, and people are going to already start seeing it with this new healthcare reform, and how when they sign up for these exchanges, it already has begun. You'll start noticing extremely forced finances onto the patient and the employer. And the employer is going to say, no way, I can't afford these big costs. And so the deductibles are going to go up to bring the premiums down. So people are going to have $3,000 deductibles, but still pay a pretty significant premium. So very important to see this happening. And that's one thing I wanted to talk about and hope that people understand what's going on. So here today I have a blog that I typed out. I hope everybody can read it. It's about the High Tech Act. Well, the High Tech Act stands for the Health Information Technology for Economic and Clinical Health Act. This was signed back in February 17th, 2009 by President Obama. And it basically what it's supposed to do and its goals are to reduce the cost of healthcare by integrating all of the computer electronic health records of among all non-hospital physicians. And this is going to, you know, the concept of it is really well thought out. However, this is going to be a tough situation. You know, doctors see a patient, and then the patient goes to another doctor, sees the patient, gets the same test, you know, another MRI, another MRI, another blood work. You know, that's going to help. You know, if you integrate all these systems and one doctor sees that another doctor did the same test, they're not going to run the same test. So, yes, that's going to help. But the problem is there's over 300 electronic record systems that are available today. Not all 300 are very well done. And I have to speak for myself in that my background, being a podiatrist and a physician and a small business owner for the last 10 years, I've done my own billing for 10 years. I've had a billing company for the last 2 to 3 years, but I still managed to learn and continually improve on my billing skills. And I know that utilizing these EMR systems, there's so many different ways for them to work. For example, I use a system that's based on the iOS system or Apple system. And it's very well done. I can use my iPad. I can take a photograph of a patient's foot, of their ulcer, and keep track of it. It goes directly into my computer, into my iPad, directly into the a patient's chart, and I can follow with them. I don't have to take a separate camera, take a picture, take out the memory stick, put it into the computer. It's too many steps. We want quick, easy, simple. There's another system that I used to use that's Windows-based. Then there might be another system that's on a different tablet on Android. So to get all these 300 EMR systems and integrate every single one of them to one system so that the government and everybody can see it, I think that's pretty tough to do, and it's going to be very hard and difficult. So if you read my blog, you will understand a little bit more about what exactly is going on and what I think would be better. And I have some ideas that would improve the system if they would gather their ideas and get rid of the lawyers and the politicians. And when it comes to healthcare, invite the actual healthcare people to help healthcare. So sounds pretty simple, don't you think? So again, the High Tech Act, President Obama decided to spend $19.2 billion on this act. And what it's all about is that he plans on giving doctors that attest or purchase or begin utilizing a electronic medical record system. And what we have to do as physicians utilizing the system to receive this incentive, which is approximately $44,000 if it's Medicare and $63,000 if it's Medicaid. And you have to see a certain amount of those patients in order to qualify for that incentive. But you have to attest by a certain amount, and that money is given in increments up to a 5-year, 6-year time frame. So you're not getting the full amount. Of course, you're going to be taxed on that as well. So the thing is this money is an incentive for doctors to get these systems. But these EMR companies are trying to get you to buy these systems, and they're utilizing that incentive to say, buy our system and you'll get this money. But you know what? You know, a lot of those systems cost $400 a month to keep up and maintain. Plus, after about 8 years or so, if you take $44,000 and divide it by 400, it's about 8 to 10 years. So that money that you just received for the incentive is gone in about 8 years. After that, it's going to cost you additional. And the amount of time that you have to apply to get the incentive, and it's not just buying the system and there you go, you get the incentive. You have several types of objectives that you have to meet to obtain the goals and qualify for these incentives. Some of the things you got to do as a podiatrist doesn't really pertain, and other specialists doesn't really pertain to my type of physician and work. In other words, like, for example, high blood pressure. I mean, I'm not going to get blood pressures on patients that I'm seeing, you know, their foot problems, it's not related to their blood pressure. Or vaccinations, I'm not a pediatrician, I don't need to worry about applying vaccinations. Another thing is sending reminder calls to patients that live in nursing homes. Well, you know, if I have a nursing home type of practice and I'm seeing 30, 40 patients a week in the nursing home, how am I supposed to email all these 80 plus year old patients so that I can get this so-called incentive and be meaningful use? Well, you know, there are some incentives and some meaningful use things that I can be exempt from, but a lot of them you can't. And to me, some of these doctors might be just clicking a couple buttons from an EMR company that's saying, hey, you know, make sure you click these buttons and it'll get you qualified to receive your incentive. And to me, that's kind of a waste of time, a waste of money. So basically, unless they can incorporate all these different types of EMR systems into one database, it's going to be nearly impossible. And they spend quite a bit of money trying to do this. However, there are some free electronic record systems that are available. I call these the Facebook of EMR. And an example of it is one called Practice Fusion. And yeah, it's a great system. I know a few doctors that are using it. But do you want to deal with banner ads? You know, when you're working on a patient's chart and you're trying to concentrate and dictate the right note and put in the right information, because who knows who's going to sue you, and you got to have the right information in there and cross your T's and dot your I's. So you don't want anything kind of disturbing your concentration. And if you are paying attention to ads, you're wasting your time that you could be treating patients. I don't know about you, but how many people out there now are going to the doctor's office and the doctor is spending most of their time looking down at their tablet or their PC instead of paying attention to you and listening to your problem and trying to help ease your pain? Well, that's the future. They're mandating all these stipulations to get all this requirements fulfilled so that they can build this database to figure out all these demographics. You know, where is, you know, what area is having more high blood pressure? What area is obesity in? And what area do people have problems with their diabetes? And all that gets put in a database, and then what is it going to be used for? Guess what, people? It's going to be used for the pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceutical companies are going to, you know, benefit from these doctors taking this money. This is why I didn't take the money at this point. I'm probably going to be forced to take the money because there's penalties after July 1st of 2014 if you don't attest to a system. And I've been using a system probably before anybody has even known about EMR systems. And I still am really torn about getting this attest and getting this money, because I feel like if I take this money, now I'm stuck in this, you know, they're going to be watching me. And even though I do everything to a T and do everything right, and I'm a great doctor, but they're going to be watching me now, and they're going to gather all my information, and they're going to say, Dr. Timko, what did you do on this patient? I think you should be, we're going to standardize certain things so that you have to do it this way. And everybody has to do it this way because that's the cheapest way, and that's the way we want things to do. And that's what we call socialized medicine. So this is a very interesting and a tough topic, and this is my opinion, and you know, take it for what you want, but again, I hope everybody enjoys my little podcast, and we will return back to our original way of doing our podcasts. And next week we'll talk about the Vibram shoes, and also we may have a guest next week that we will interview. And also I will again talk about plantar fasciitis and some of the sports members that have gotten this injury in the last few weeks. So I hope everybody enjoyed this podcast and learned something about healthcare reform and the High Tech Act. And again, I don't think that it's, I think it was a waste of money, and hopefully the government will hear my voice and maybe give me a call. I'll definitely come in to help out Washington and give my advice and try to help this country and try to get this $1 trillion healthcare deficit down, and hopefully we can have a better future in healthcare, and doctors will succeed and help people get better.
That's it for the WTF podcast show. Thank you for joining us. For more information on us or our show, check us out at www.feetdoc.com. Ciao.